Welcome back. Crest in the Afternoon on the Ave Maria Radio Network. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with Chris McGregor, my beloved wife, for 36 years. And we are broadcasting from the DiscerningHearts.com studios in Omaha, Nebraska today. And, honey, our next guest is going to show us, at least 100 ways that St. John Paul II changed the world.
Yeah, can you believe it? We're fast approaching the 100th birthday of St. John Paul the Great. I think that's what I call him, John Paul the Great.
Yep.
And to celebrate that, we have Patrick Novakoski, who looks at 100 ways he changed the church and the world. I don't know how he narrowed it down to 100, but I can't wait to find out.
Well, he's in the catbird seat to be able to do this because he is one of America's most accomplished Catholic communicators. Winner of more than 24 awards from the Catholic Press Association, he's edited and written for some of America's top Catholic publications. Managing partner in Nova Media, a marketing firm specializing in Catholic space. We all love being in Catholic space.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that really caught my attention, though, Chris, was Patrick met Pope St. John Paul II 5 times, and the one that got me that I'm most interested in finding out how, if he'll share, is he has made Pope Francis laugh out loud. Most importantly, husband, father of 5 beautiful children. Patrick, good afternoon. Welcome to Crest in the Afternoon. So how did you do it? How did you make the
Chris
Holy Father
Bruce,
laugh?
Good to be with you.
Well, we have to know, Patrick, how you made the Holy Father laugh.
Well, you start with Francis, we'll end with John Paul, all right?
All right.
Okay. Well,
I was in Rome with a group from the Papal Foundation. They invited me as a guest in one of their meetings, their annual meetings with Pope Francis. And the people in front of them, there were about 100 people, were in the Clementine Hall, and each couple or family would come up to the Holy Father individually, and they would greet him, essentially get a blessing, and then move on to the next person. And I was in Rome not only for that particular event, but I was also there to run the Rome Marathon. And I had noted that when this is on a Friday, and 2 days earlier, the Holy Father had received the finisher's medal in St. Peter's Square from the president of the Rome Marathon. So with that in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, this Pope is different. You know, he likes to shake things up a little bit. So when it came my turn, I came up to him. I held his hand like I would my own father, and I said, "Holy Father, on Sunday, I'm running the Rome Marathon." And I waited a second because I know his English isn't that good, but when I could tell by the look in his eye that he understood me, I just simply said, "Please pray for me." And Cardinal Wuerl, who was introducing us, he laughed out loud, and then the Holy Father laughed out loud, and then he said, "I do, I do." And from there, 2 days later on Sunday, I ran the Rome Marathon. I ran my best time ever. So the Holy Father's intercession took me the few extra steps.
There you go. Perfect.
That apostolic blessing, it's important. It's good.
Yeah, and in person too, right?
Yep, absolutely. Well, Patrick, we're so glad to have you here. You know, I'm going to share something with you real quick. You will not remember me. You will not remember, I'm absolutely sure, but it was for the canonization of John Paul and John the 23rd. Matt Bunsen and I happened to be in that piazza area behind all those gates and everything, and we ended up in a little square. I think it was you, maybe your wife, and some other people who were camping out, filled with joy for the canonization of John Paul. Am I right? You were there?
That was me. That was me. It wasn't my wife. That was just a group of other people.
There you go.
I got there really early. You know, we just passed the anniversary of John Paul's canonization.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I was looking back at those pictures, and I noted that I got up really early. I think I got up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning and got to the square really early. By the time the canonization mass was over, I was exhausted.
Perhaps
it was foolish, but it was an exceptional day.
Sure.
If you happen to see a strange blonde chick with Matt Bunsen, I was standing there with him, and you guys were so joyful. And I looked back, and I remember seeing the endless sea of people that before everything started, I ended up leaving because I wanted to walk through that crowd. I wanted to see how far it went, and it was incredible to see the effect of John the 23rd, but of John Paul. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He really did change the world,
yeah.
didn't he?
Absolutely. From the time he began his priesthood until the time he left this earth, he impacted, well, even before that, he impacted every person that he ever met. Simply because of his joy, the power of his personality, his natural charisma, and his passion for the faith. And ultimately, I tell people all the time, it was his prayer life that was like a nuclear engine that powered everything that he did.
Well, it's a saying that I think we hear often, don't we, that saints make saints. And when you have somebody that has just that a gravitas of a John Paul, we shouldn't be surprised that the church would look at his parents, not unlike Therese and how Zelé and Louis Martin became saints. Why not John Paul's parents?
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. You know, John Paul, it's my estimation that John Paul II would not have become a priest had he not had such a profound example of prayer and fidelity in his own father. John Paul was 9 years old when his mother died. He was almost 21 when his father died. And his own prayer life, in a sense, was patterned after his father. He would quite often wake up in the night and see his father kneeling at his bedside, his own bedside, in prayer. And he was so moved by that, his father's piety and his own personal faith and prayer life, that it inspired him after his passing to choose priesthood instead of acting. All of John Paul's friends were stunned that this incredibly talented actor would choose a life of priesthood rather than the stage.
You know, getting to this book, I think that everybody should have a copy of, because, I mean, this is one of the most extraordinary examples of sainthood, of what it is to be a pope, but also it kind of points how he affects all of our lives. How did you narrow it down to 100 ways that he changed the world?
Yeah, so it's interesting how the book came about. My first interaction with John Paul was actually in 1984 when I was a 16-year-old kid in Canada. John Paul was the first and to this day only pope to ever visit Canada. He skipped over Saskatchewan, where I grew up, and some of my friends were going to see him, but I didn't make that trip. But I had this really profound dream that he came to my house and he gave me a hug. And I was just a regular kid, but this dream was so real, so profound, that it stayed with me. And then, you know, years and years later, I went on to meet him 5 times. So I've been giving a talk on his legacy. First of all, how I met him, how that all happened by God's grace. And then unpacking his legacy and telling his top 10 gifts to the church, his biggest influences. And then about a year ago, I recognized that his 100th birthday is coming up in May of 2020, only 10 days away. No, wait, the 18th. So 1 week from today, as a matter
right.
of fact,
right.
will be his 100th birthday. So I started writing July 1st and came up with this list of 70. That's how I started. But by the time I was getting near the end, I had 125, 130 of them, and I had to narrow it down to the ones that really fit. So what I did was I started with religious freedom and kind of worked my way up to number 11 and put those in an order that kind of flowed and made sense logically. And then the top 10, I tried to rank them as his biggest influences, things like his publication of the first universal catechism in a few hundred years, his founded World Youth Day, he added 5 mysteries to the rosary, the new evangelization, his devotion to Our Lady, things like this, the theology of the body, things that just really changed the trajectory of the church and the world profoundly.
Yeah, there was something so about him. I remember I was a junior in high school when he was brought forward as our new pope. And I just remember watching the news, and back then it was kind of a crazy time too. And it was, and I wasn't even a Catholic yet, Patrick, and when I heard him say, "Be not afraid," those words, it was almost like, you know, I realize now, all these years later, that it wasn't even really John Paul, but it was Christ speaking through him. And I think he's such a mirror, such a window like that. I mean, he just exemplified a Christ-like figure, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, was it John the Baptist who said, "I must decrease, he must increase," and all great saints know this, that they need to get out of the way and let God do his work through them in whatever way God is calling them to do it. I always quote Mother Teresa because she said, I'm a little pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world. Yeah. And that speaks volumes. It speaks humility. It speaks that God is doing the moving and the work. I'm just the instrument, and I'm allowing him to do the work through me. And that's what John Paul did. He did the same thing. He allowed God to move him to change the world in thousands and thousands of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems kind of strange, but his path to the priesthood was opened up by a lot of great sorrow, with siblings of his dying, his mother dying, ultimately his father dying. And that's just, when you read that, it's just heartbreaking.
It is. And, you know, he had a very difficult life. People might see this. He lived in the Apostolic Palace, and he traveled the world. But he was shot in St. Peter's Square in May of 1981, and suffered health problems from that multiple times. He had a number of infections. He fell and he broke his leg in the early 90s, and his physical health declined year by year after that because of that. When he was a young man, he was hit by a truck and injured, and he had a lifelong limp because of that. It wasn't that profound, but all of these ailments, you know, they added up, and he had a number of surgeries while he was Pope that weren't really well publicized, but he bore it well, and he bore it to the end. And, you know, those of us who lived through that era remember his suffering, his public suffering, and showing us the value of human life, no matter what your health is like, you know. And it was a beautiful example, a beautiful witness.
Well, and Patrick, I wish we had more time. That's why I'm so glad people can get the book, The 100 Ways JP2 Changed the World. But, you know, I just have to say, that funeral, that was a miracle in itself. I remember the people that were there, don't you?
Yes, I do. It was amazing and beautiful.
All right. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for the beautiful book. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
That is Patrick Novakovsky, and wow.
What a great writer.
Yep. 100 Ways That John Paul II Changed the World. Pick it up. Cresta in the Afternoon. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break next.